Pastor Nomer, pwede niyo bang sagutin yung tanong kanina para marinig rin nila? Ten Commandments series kasi kami starting this Sunday.
When we discuss about Christ-centeredness or discovering Christ from the Scriptures, we need to avoid an extreme. The extreme is you read every page of the Bible and try to find what that verse is saying about Christ. We need to be careful that your derivation of your teaching is biblically warranted. You know, like there are people who are explaining Christ from the every part of the high priest clothing, from the turban down. Minsan, ano na yun eh, puwersa na yun eh. It's exegesis na. Hindi na yun ang intention ng text, hindi na yung intention ng teaching. So that one we need to avoid. Second is, since you are doing series on the law, I just like to remind you that the word Torah, which is translated always law, means more instruction than law, like the law of the Medes and the Persians. So the concept of law of the Old Testament implies God's instructions, which includes history, which includes poetry, which includes, you know, their literary device, are all instructions. So when you read, do not commit adultery, do not kill, you cannot read it apart from instruction number one. And what is instruction number one? I am the Lord your God who delivered you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Because of that, you don't have other gods. Because of that, you will not make any other gods. Because of that, you cannot take the name of the Lord your God in vain. So pagka ganun, madaling isermon ang Ten Commandments. Katulad nung ginawa niyong theme, they are instructions coming from a love affair with a loving God. You don't commit adultery because you have an existing love relationship with God. Okay? Now let's continue our... So now that you have done your theme, tentative theme, now you have done your outline, now you have done your exegesis, the next challenge is, how can we bring the result of our Christocentric exegesis of the passage written 2,000 years ago to a meaningful and relevant message people can understand, appreciate, and apply in our present day? Paano yung sinulat ni Solomon na Proverbs na sinulat niya about 2,000 years, including our time, 3,000 years, how can that be meaningful to our present political, financial, social setting? Ang sagot dyan, homiletics. What is homiletics? It is the ability to put together what Scriptures is saying for the purpose of communicating the Word of God in such a way that the message, dalawang qualification, is understandable and relevant to the hearers. When you see there, Appendix 1, can you please turn to your handout? If you will invite me to listen to your sermon, this is the way I will evaluate your sermon. You know, how do people evaluate our sermons nowadays? Kung napatawa mo sila, o napaiyak mo sila, ay naku, bless na bless sila. Pero paglabas ng church, they go back to their old ways. So in homiletics, we are putting together the result of your study, and then now you have a message, and your goal is for people to understand and for people to apply that message. So in this preaching evaluation form, by the way, this is original. So Haddon Robinson may have his evaluation form and others, but me as a Filipino pastor, I will use this. The first part of the evaluation are those on top. The text, and then the big idea or theme. What is the main theme of that sermon? If I cannot determine the theme of that sermon, then that sermon has no direction. And then letter A, introduction. Do you know that you lose people in your first five minutes? You lose them or you gain them. Kung first 5 minutes, yung sinasabi mo hindi attractive sa kanila, they will mentally already plan what they will eat after the service. Or, yung iba, kunyari naka-open yung cellphone nila na Bible text, yung pala, nagpe-Facebook na. Kasi you lost them eh. So your introduction gets audience attention, connects, ushers people to the message. So that's very important. So I will put 10% of your message there. And then the body or the content of the message, is the theme or purpose of the sermon clear? The major points, are they supporting the sermon's purpose? The use of illustration or support material, is it appropriate? Kasi minsan, may maganda ka lang na joke. Isisingit mo eh. Wala namang kinalaman yung joke mo dun sa message eh. Gusto mo lang magpatawa. Eh, hindi ka naman comedian eh. Hindi, pastor, kasi naaantok na yung mga tao, kaya, okay, excuse, pag naaantok yung mga tao. Use of transition statements. The conclusion ties up all the parts of the sermon. The application is fitting. Ano siya? Naturally coming from the message, relevant, and then challenging. And then the overall, the message is biblically sound and Christ-centered. So yun, 30% yun. The next 30% is your delivery. No? Your delivery. So ano mga hinihingi natin sa delivery ng sermon? Well, natural, authentic, and from the heart. I had a student in ATS who preached as if he is a different person when he is preaching. Ang accent niya British? Sabi ko, paano nangyari to na naging British ka nung nag-sermon ka? Yung pala, every morning may pinapakinggan siyang British preacher. So nagaya na niya. Pilipino, magaling gumaya eh. So sabi ko, alam mo, mahihirapan ng congregation mag-connect sa'yo kasi pagkatapos ng sermon mo, eh hindi ka na British accent eh. So, kailangan natural. The voice and the gesture, the flow of the presentation, the preacher connects and impacts the audience. The length is just right. Pastor, ano ba yung length na tamang-tama? Kung wala ka namang sinasabi, yung 10 minutes, napakahaba nun. Ngayon, kung maganda naman yung sinasabi mo at talagang daman-daman ng mga tao, hindi nila mapupuna yung time. Na? So yung length, hindi yan sa oras lang. Yung length ang mag-determine kung tama yung length mo, yung audience. Pag nakakita ka na ng tumingin sa relo, medyo signal na sa'yo yun. Eh pag nagdalawa na, aba makinig ka na. Use of social media is helpful and appropriate. Tayo ngayon, sanay tayo sa PowerPoints, and these are blessings. Tim Keller does not use PowerPoint. So when we ask him, Dr. Tim, we noticed for the past 6 weeks, you never use PowerPoint. So kasi sa isip namin, siguro matanda na siya. Old tradition. You know what his answer was? I don't use PowerPoint because I respect the intelligence of New Yorkers. From Monday to Friday, they are already bombarded with PowerPoints in their office. So I like to give them a break. Number two, they don't need PowerPoints. When they listen to you, they can understand you. They can decide for themselves. Tim Keller does not move left and right. No, he does not. When Tim Keller preaches, he is just behind the pulpit. But he is an expert in using the eyes and the hands. So the delivery is very important because it strengthens, it supports your message. But the other 30% will be the audience impact. Do listeners love God more? Are they convicted of sin? Do they feel the need of salvation? Are they drawn to Jesus? Does the audience sense that the preacher has love for the Lord, believes and practices what he is preaching, and he has prepared, and he is anointed by the Holy Spirit? Yun ang mga dinidiscern ng preacher. So ako, I've been a Christian for 41 years. And I have observed Filipino preachers, including Mike Velarde, those who are in television. You know, it's a wonderful feeling if when you are watching a preacher, you know that what he is preaching is a result of his time praying with, listening, interacting with God. Not just the person went to the library and consulted 5 commentaries. What you are doing in Victory is commendable, that you have a time to gather together to discuss what you are preaching on Sunday. You know, the input of the community is very helpful. Because what you have not seen during your personal exegesis may be seen by others. So that when you preach, you are not only preaching your personal sermon, you are preaching a communal sermon. So we call the art of preparing sermon homiletics. The preacher's ability to prepare a sermon has an important aim. It is not to astound others with our rhetorics, but to stimulate faith in Christ Jesus and guide them towards a deeper knowledge of God. So our first concern is to present the message of salvation to the lost, then offer instruction for godly living to those who are followers of Christ. You know, initially when you are a new pastor, you are very self-conscious. You know, when I first preached in my church, and that was June 1982, somebody approached me and said, Pastor, you have committed more than 100 grammatical blunders. How would you feel if you were me? You know, you would not like to preach again. Sabi ko sa kanya, ang dami naman nun. Alam mo ginawa niya, nilabas yung notebook niya. Pastor, ito. Kasi English major siya eh. So yung juxtaposition ng number of your subject and your verb, yung female, male. Siyempre, hindi ka na conscious dun eh. Iniskora niya. So, you know, what will I... The next week, I wrote my sermon. Kasi nung tinuruan kami sa 80s, ano lang eh, outline lang eh. So, ngayon, sunulat ko yung sermon. After the service, sabi niya, Pastor, galing mo ah. Mga 30 na lang. Sabi ko, marami pa din yun na. So the next week, sulat uli. This time, talagang Ano na, full manuscript. Sabi niya, Pastor, congratulations, ha? Ang galing naman ng presentation mo kanina. Pero alam niyo, yung puso ko, walang laman. Dito lang eh. I preached that Sunday for her. To please her. Pero ang feeling ko, naging unfair ako sa congregation. So sabi ko, no, I will preach according to how God led me. So, nabakasyon na ako sa kanya. Meron namang missionary, sabi niya, Pastor, you are preaching on top of people's head. Eh, anong gagawin ko? Masuno rin tayo eh. The next week, bago ka na naman. Ginawa mong simple. So, preach ka simple. Tapos, sabi ng missionary na malapit, Pastor, nag-prepare ka ba? So, when you are focused on yourself, and people are focused on the preacher, hindi maganda resulta eh. No. So I just decided, Lord, you have gifted me with something. Lord, just use that thing that I'll be able to deliver God's word. So I was free. So when you put these things together, exegetical preparation, then the preaching, you come up with expository preaching. What is that? There are three kinds of preaching. One is topical. You have a topic in mind. You went to the Bible, get the verses that are related to the topic. You organize it, and then you preach. Then the second kind is called, not just topic, you have a short passage, but you have a theme. And you call that textual preaching. And you are preaching royal passages like John 3:16, Romans 6:23. But you have a theme and you use that text. Expository preaching is an extended text. You are not only using Romans 6:23 or John chapter 3, you are using the context of that whole passage. So expository preaching is communication of a biblical concept. You still have a concept like a topic or a theme. And that concept is derived from and transmitted through a historical, in background niya, grammatical, and literary analysis of the passage in context, which the Holy Spirit first applies to the personality and experience of the preacher, then through the preacher applies to the hearers. So that's from Haddon Robinson. And this is his classic book, Biblical Preaching. But in his biblical preaching, he will not preach topically. He always has a passage, and that passage he will get a concept or a big idea. Well, I wrote a book, kasi Amerikano yun eh, as introduced by Pastor Winston. The title is The Wise and the House of Biblical Preaching. So I don't care whether you will preach topically or you will preach textually or you will preach expositorily. But my concern is you preach biblically. Okay, and what is biblical preaching? I gave a description. It's a proclamation of God's message. You have a message from God. And then that message is derived from a growing personal relationship or knowledge of God. Number one. Number two, diligent study of His Word. And number three, correct understanding of your audience. Which a credible servant of God, tayo yun, clearly delivers and relevantly applies to his own life and to his hearers in the power of the Holy Spirit. And what is the ultimate purpose? For the accomplishment of God's agenda for that morning or for that day. So, for me, that's the result of 34 years of experience in preaching. That you cannot be too technical. Because when you become too technical, many people in church are just simple. They don't care about Greek and Hebrew. they care about what God will say to them that morning about their struggles. So that's what I suggest is biblical preaching. So what is the result when you do the suggested approach? Of number one, looking at the message. Number two, organizing them in a logical outline. Number three, doing study exegesis in detail of the passage. Number four, asking yourself, where is Christ in this passage? How is he, you know, pointed out here? And then the next one is, now, after that study, how do I organize them? When you come up with a biblical sermon or biblical preaching, anong resulta? In Luke chapter 24, 32, when Jesus spoke to the two men who were down, walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they did not know it was Jesus, and then Jesus left, they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was exegeting, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? So that's the result of exegesis. The hearts of people are warmed up. And this was not the only experience of these two men in Emmaus. When Peter preached his first sermon in Acts chapter 2, what was the impact? When people heard this, they were pierced to the heart. That's the goal of biblical preaching. Yes, the head is important, because without the head, without the intelligence, they cannot understand. But your target is 1 foot lower. They were pierced to the heart. Because when they are pierced to the heart, then they themselves will ask the question, okay, brethren, what shall we do? And then we now have the opportunity to tell them the challenge of the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or repent. Then let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. So we will apply the suggested approach this moment. Can you please turn your hand out to the last page, and you will see a psalm. I did not put any mark because I like it to mark it. So what are you going to do? Well, in 20 minutes, or gawin na natin 15 minutes. In 15 minutes, here are my suggestions. Number one, you have 14 verses. Which verses go together? So, i-connect mo sila. What will be my basis? The content, the imageries, and the subject matter. Number two, after putting them together, what is the main message of those gathered verses? What is it all about? Then number three, after you have identified what those main sections are, you put the whole thing together. What is the overall message of Psalm 19? In one phrase or one sentence. And then number four, how can the main message be explained and applied? So I'll give you until 3:12. Okay? And then I will call on the spot somebody to share. Okay? Your time begins now.